A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jason Smith is one of the two hosts for Jason and John, 11-2 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He is on X at JasonSmith929. He joins the program now via the phone line. Jason, what's happening, brother? How are you?
Not much, brother. I appreciate you having me on. Is this my debut on the Gabe Kuhn Show, other than like hits from Tops?
This is the debut, and Tops. And then also, I had my debut on the Jason and John Show earlier in the week. You got to return the favor.
What we realized not long, I mean seconds within having you on, and really it was earlier than that. I think it was actually in a technique that you had showed us, the difference between holding and not holding. We had said that, man, we should have long ago had Gabe Kuhn on our show explaining football to us.
See, so, we may need a video element for that, too, because John...
I think it's so educational for both those of us in the media that think we know football, and then you're, you know, the fan, man, that could be, you know, I get it's so much insight in terms of the game with you. That's the mistake that we've made, not having you on sooner.
Yeah, now, John at Giannato's going away party had me teach him about holding versus not holding. He didn't realize you could grab the breastplate if you're an offensive lineman, but I tried to teach him it's about being inside the framework of the body.
And
right?
What I loved as a team guy is that you came in and you gave his partner the demonstration as well in studio. And so again, I've long owed you the opportunity to come on here and chat with you, brother. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Wouldn't miss the opportunity. Now let's get into it. I will get to the Brontosaurus Zach Edey talk here in a second, but I want to start with UTSA transfer PJ Carter committing to Memphis, 6'5", 9 points per game, definitely a late addition. And really it shows, like, with I think the biggest takeaway, it shows with Penny and with Rick Stansberry, no recruitment is ever closed, right? They got this guy. This guy signed a month ago to Rice, and they ended up going to get him. What do you think about the addition, and what do you think about what he could potentially add to this team? I don't think it's the most exciting addition, but it definitely, I think, makes sense at this point in the calendar.
No, you said the key thing at this point in the calendar. It's the pickings are slim right now, and I think what you said is something I talked about on my show. You know, Stansberry, Penny, them going out in this instance and not limiting themselves to the uncommitted guys that are still in the portal, turning over every rock, including guys that Rice has already announced that they've signed, but obviously hadn't been on campus yet, and so you can still do that. But it speaks, I think, to how serious they are, how much they clearly feel like they don't have enough. There's those of us on the outside looking in that can say, you know, without David Jones, my goodness, you're thin on the wing, but how do you fill that void from a scoring standpoint, obviously from a rebounding standpoint? Clearly, Penny Hardaway expect to have him as part of this roster. And so we've all had eyes on sort of how Penny fills it. And I think there's a couple of things here. He isn't just the body, right? You're not talking about an inefficient right. player, and you're not, I'm sure, going to overpay in terms of NIL for a guy like P.J. Carter that has to know he's coming in here to play a role after starting so few games last year for UTSA. You fill the role, but I that's fine. But I think, you know, in another way, you know, we've talked about, too, the one thing that you'd hope that Penny Hardaway could get out of this transfer portal was multiple-year transfers. And so I speak to that, and the fact that he was at Rice and signed up to say this. It shows you how clearly they didn't think they had enough still, and how I think desperate. Maybe that's not the word. Maybe it's a level down, concerned, whatever it was, that they do not have enough, that they were willing to turn over, it's the old Rick Stansbury MO. Right. He did this with Emmanuel Acott, who was signed up at Memphis, but had not stepped foot in the classroom, and he was able to pull him late to Western Kentucky. You know, the fact that they, you know, would go after a guy like this who, yes, fits the puzzle, but I think it shows you clearly they felt like they need more going into next season, particularly coming off of the loss to David Jones. P.J. Carter's a good fit. You would like to see most of these guys be multiple-year transfers, though, because the issue here, good fit or not this season, NCAA tournament or not, you're going to be replacing him next year. And we've looked at the analytics. We know the way Penny Hardaway has done it the last two off seasons with using the transfer portal as the bulk of your roster. It's not a good formula for NCAA tournament success. John's laid it out over and over again to me. I've been educated on it. It's hard to do. And so when you're not adding multiple year guys like a PJ Haggerty and having to constantly replace it, doesn't help you there. But I do think it's a long-winded way, Gabe, of telling you, I think P.J. Carter is going to help you. You needed the wing depth. You needed the shooting. But again, does it add to the future, the continuity that you're trying to get back to? Not sure it does that. But as for where you are in the calendar and what you needed, P.J. Carter is a good add. And, so be it, Rice. I mean, right. The big boys at this point are going to be able to come do that to you, and it was certainly done at one point to Memphis, albeit not by a big boy, by Rick Stansbury. You got Rick Stansbury doing it for you now.
Yeah, you want continuity, there's no doubt about it, but I think when you're building a roster for this year and you have limited bodies, you just need to find guys that can play a role for you. Now, it's funny, you brought up this word that got me into trouble a couple of years ago when I see Penny Hardaway recruiting late into the calendar, right up against sort of the season, getting into training camp. You use the word desperate. Now, it's funny to me, sometimes people take that word and just have this negative connotation on it. I think when you're talking about desperation to go find guys out on the open market, that's a good thing in a lot of ways because you know that you have clear needs and you're addressing those needs regardless of where you're at in the calendar. I don't think that desperation by a staff, by Penny Hardaway, by Rick Stansbury should be viewed in a negative light.
Well, it can only be viewed. It should be viewed in a negative light when the desperation leads you to bad decisions.
Sure,
when it leads you to adding guys that you don't need that end up coming and perhaps screwing up your chemistry, not performing well on the court. Right. If the desperation leads you to good choices, and in this case, it looks like you've taken fit perhaps over talent,
right,
over individual highest ceiling, then you're absolutely right. That maybe the better way of putting it, Gabe, and I know you've used the phrase, that sense of urgency, that can be a good thing. And clearly, when you lose what you do in David Jones, where it's not just from a scoring standpoint, but also your leading rebounder last year, when you've only got Colby Rogers in terms of proven on the wing, I know we've seen Jourdain there needed to be that sense of urgency, that good kind of desperation, and hopefully you're going to get, you know, a good result here in P.J. Carter. You're right. It can lead to good things, and hopefully it has here.
Now, I will say, I think just looking at Penny Hardaway and the way he's coached teams in the past, his best teams, it almost feels like less is more. The best team, I think, from start to finish has been the DeAndre Williams, Kendrick Davis team, with not a lot really as far as role players, but they stepped into roles and they knew their pecking order. And Penny Hardaway, you got less pieces, so that leads to less rotational issues and you're not making crazy substitutions. You know who you have and you play them. I feel like this roster has the ability to do that. But I do think that, you know, there is a double-edged sword to that, right? Like, if there is some injuries, 100%. That definitely gets concerning. We see a lot of coaches doing it, too. I think John Calipari has said he wants to limit his roster to only, like, 8 or 9 guys at the most. You have some injuries that you could run into some issues along the way.
Well, injuries, we know, you know, where it hurts you so much last year with Caleb Mills, and it certainly hurt them. It's not something you can use as the hinge of your season and say, this is why it all fell apart. There was too much talent for that. Go back to your point, because I've made a similar one about that team 2 years ago with Kendrick and DeAndre, because I think approaching this offseason, something John and I were both stressing was, okay, maybe it's better to, again, stress fit over highest ceiling, highest level talent guys, getting a roster full of those like that team 2 years ago. Here's the difference, though, Gabe, and I think you'd probably agree with me. You knew coming in the door, the moment those guys came in for the summer, whenever Kendrick Davis got there, when they walked through the door, him and DeAndre Williams, the pecking order was already set. The pecking order was already set in terms of 1 and 2. And so to your point, the rest of it, and it was lesser talent, but it was role players and guys who knew that. The rest of it was really just trying to figure out, get in where you fit in behind those guys. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference here with this team, and obviously injury could affect it, we know all that, but the difference with this team is we don't yet know who 1, 2, even maybe 3 are going to be. Like, you know, the moment they all hit the door and they already have this summer, obviously, that's still got to be figured out. And the issue here is you've got a non-conference schedule that's probably just as tough. I should rephrase that. It's tougher. When I look at what UConn's expected to be, the fact that you could get North Carolina in that Maui, and we saw how the battle for Atlantis, you know, sort of those opponents dropped off last year. This one's better. This non-conference schedule could be tougher, and you're trying to do that. You're trying to figure out who 1, 2, and 3 are on the fly. Because, Gabe, you know this better than anybody. You don't figure that out in preseason practice. You don't figure it out in workouts. You don't figure out who that guy is. Who's getting the ball late? Is it P.J. Haggerty? Should it be Tyrese because he came from Texas and played in some big games? What about Dane Danger? You know, you don't know who that is until you hit the games, and because you will be doing it against a pretty tough non-conference slate, that's something in terms of, like, how you're figuring that pecking order. So it's going to have more layers to it than 2 years ago did, even if you've got the right fits. You're still going to have more to figure out.
So you don't think if you squint your eyes, you can call P.J. Haggerty the Kendrick Davis of this team?
Not yet.
The jury's still out for you.
My man, I am higher on him. I am clearly than my partner is. I think my partner thinks P.J. Haggerty, who played on a loser, yes, at Tulsa, and had an incredible usage rate, playing it, you know, I think his point is it's going to come down a level, you know, especially against, and it's fair, the non-conference portion of the schedule. I mean, you could argue he knows the AAC as well as anybody that you're going to get because he played through it last year. And that part's probably true. But I have higher hopes for P.J. Haggerty. And know while it might not be 20, 21 points or whatever it ended up being at Tulsa, if he's leading this team, a more balanced team with 14 or 15 points, that's still a P.J. Haggerty that, to me, is doing what you need him to do. And so, believe it or not, I'm higher than my partner. It's something that I find us talking about every day. I'm hoping for big things from P.J. Haggerty. I think the Tigers have got to do it to be this team in the AAC. We expect them to be at this point. When you look around the rest of it, they're going to need a P.J. Haggerty that's effective, not one that's coming down two levels because he's not, you know, he doesn't have the ball in his hands as much. They're going to need a P.J. Haggerty that's challenging for player of the league, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Now, before we get to Zeedee Soares talk, overall with this roster, which seems like, you know, I think for the most part, the P.J. Carter's probably the finishing touch here. I don't know if you're going to add a whole lot more, although we've been surprised in the past. But it seems like Penny Hardaway and the staff wanted guys to get here a little bit earlier, and they don't want to add guys in December like they did last year with Naquan Tomlin and have the Jordan Brown thing in and out of the program. They want to try to get this thing solidified before they get into training camp.
Yep.
All said and done, what do you like? What do you think the advantages of this roster are, and what do you think the disadvantages of this roster are?
I mean, to me, Gabe, and more so than offense, and we've stressed how these pieces are going to fit together a lot on that side, but it's can you get back to being the kind of defensive team that we had said through Penny Hardaway's first 5 years, okay, this guy can coach. Because he's getting elite level players to buy in on defense. That's hard to do. A lot of these guys didn't play defense, high school, everything else. But that's what we used to sort of hang our hats on with Penny, was a defensive identity that at one point, for a couple of years in a row there, was number one in the country, top five. Again, it's what we have become used to. Do you have the pieces to make that work? And so I do think, you go back to the roster question you asked me, from a front court standpoint, I love what they've got in terms of trying to get back to defense with Musa, who's apparently going to play behind Dane, and then Tyreek Smith. I mean, that's an athletic shot blocker, and Tyreek Smith that you bring over is going to play a role, and you figure, okay, these are rim protectors in a way that we didn't have last year. But you have to have that, it feels like, to play that Penny Hardaway pressing style, you know, attacking style that's taking chances and steals. A lot of times they're getting behind the defense. You've got to have that rim protector there. So more so than anything, I'm hopeful that this roster, the way it's pieced together, and I'm not sure on the perimeter, to be honest with you. You know, is Tyrese Hunter going to be the guy that steps up and locks down? It was Caleb Mills last year, and we saw how much it hurt when they lost that guy. What it looks like defensively, because that's the side that up until last year had been so consistent through the ups and downs of the offense, the going back to the line, then the back to the we're running the NBA. You had consistently been good to elite on defense. Can you do that with this roster? I think around the basket, they're going to be extremely good. What I'm interested to see, Gabe, is do they have the sort of perimeter guys? Perhaps P.J. Carter is one of those at 6'5 with some athleticism that can help you out there. We know Jordan is switchable, but whether it's, you know, the Colby Rogers, the P.J. Haggerty, who's shown with his steals that he can get out in the lanes, or the Tyrese Hunters, you know, can they be dogs defensively? Because I think you're always, you know, Penny Hardaway teams, we've seen it, they're going to have ups and downs offensively. How consistent can you be on the side that we thought he had licked up until last season? That's the key for me with this roster. They got enough around the basket. I'm curious who's going to step up on the perimeter.
We're talking with half of Jason and John, which is from 11 to 2 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. That's Jason Smith on X at Jason Smith 929. Now, Zach Edey, we have one game in summer league for him in Salt Lake. 14 points, 15 rebounds, 4 blocks, an assist, a steal, and 34 minutes. What's your level of buy-in right now to this pick? I know that right when the pick was made, your partner is just, he was fully bought in. You were a little bit, you were hanging around there for a second. I know one game is not going to sway your ultimate opinion on Zach Edey, but I think that this game in particular against Walker Kessler, who's a third-year center, I think it goes a long way into thinking about his fit and how it will actually work with the Grizzlies, because you're not asking him to be some all-star.
No, so I am certainly more bought in after one summer league game, and I have to hold my hand up and admit that I am, than I was beforehand. Going, you know, I liked the pick, and I liked taking him at 9 after it appeared that you could not, and was reported, move up to try to get Klingon. I thought it was the right move. You had to come out of this draft with a center. Whether you're using the pick, again, to get a veteran center, or using the pick to get a body, you got what it looked like to me the second best fit in Zach Edey. So I always liked the pick. My questions were, and I think this is where we had, again, summer league, but some answers, were can he hold up in a Steven Adams type role from a minute standpoint? Can a big guy like this at 7'4", 300, and I know what he did at the combine, you know, certainly impressed all of us and surprised me certainly with how nimble he was, how fast he was, how fast the big man could move. But all that said, this is a faster paced game. Gabe, you've gone through these questions, you know them, and they were all my concerns. And so to see him go out there, and yes, again, the caveat, feels like you got to keep saying it, but to see him go out there and play 34 minutes,
right,
yes, in a summer league game, but against a Walker Kessler, as you mentioned, a guy who's going to be a third-year star in this league, who was playing for Team USA on FIBA last year, to go out there and play 34 minutes, to turn your ankle in the game,
right,
and come back from it, to take a nasty spill in that fourth quarter like he did and get back up from it. Oh, and oh, by the way, he waved the trainer off on the ankle injury, basically said it walked it off himself, said I'll be back in, to how effective he was, how comfortable he was rebounding, pushing against a proven guy in Walker Kessler. It was all of it, man. I think you what four or five of the 15 rebounds were offensive rebounds.
Yep.
That's your Steven Adams. Gabe, you pointed it out. I mean, early on in that game, he's setting screens for Scottie Pippen and doing exactly what we hope he's going to be doing for Ja Morant. But imagine Ja Morant coming around that screen.
Right.
And so you saw everything. But the thing for me, and the reason I'm more bought in now, and yes, it's, I mean, this is going to be a game-to-game thing, and we'll see it, what happens once you get in the regular season, was that he played at that pace for stretches, not touching the ball, and looked the part. Looked like a guy who could absolutely handle it. And so I'm intrigued by it. I still think, Gabe, I'm not out of the park of, I still like, would love to see a veteran big.
Sure.
In terms of having the optionality, right, to go big and have someone next to Jaren. Right now there's Edie and that's it, unless you want to go with Jimison. And so I'd love to have a low price veteran big to just in case, again, with the Edie question about can he do this for a whole season. But how could you not like what you saw that first night, just in terms, just every part of it, and we saw a little bit of fire too, with the dunking on the head and the tapping of the head. You saw, I mean, he's as much a competitor as anybody out there. If he's gonna move like that, Gabe, count me all in, brother. I'll buy in some more.
And what's fun as hell, and this is something Zach Lyman talked about even after drafting him, is he said he's gonna be able to be a little bit more aggressive because he couldn't foul out at Purdue. And
right.
He had six fouls
right.
in that game, in that first game. But mind you, one of them was a technical, and one was the one that ended the game where you sent Keontae George to the line, which, let's be honest, very ticky-tack. I think the refs wanted to get up out of there. I wanted to get up out of there. I was tired of watching that game at that point. But, like, thinking about him with those four blocks next to Jaren, that is crazy rim protection. And you need that in the West with all the bigs you're going to see. Domantas Sabonis, you're dealing with Nikola Jokic. You need as much rim protection as possible.
I mean, just look at Minnesota and how they can attack you. And it's not,
right.
It's not just Gobert and Karl Anthony. It's Naz Reid as well. And so that's what we'd said. I think more than anything, watching these playoffs on the outside looking in, and it gave you the chance to sort of re-examine yourself honestly, was that, Gabe. We knew it in terms of watching it in the regular season. You dropped to 25th in rebounding. Like, you knew it wasn't the same without Steven Adams, and they needed to address it. But when you watch the playoffs and watch how Dallas's two bigs and Gafford and Lively, who aren't overly impressive individually, but how key they are in the stuff. You watch a big Minnesota team. Heck, it was Chet Holmgren really getting overpowered, them needing more bigs, that reminded me during those playoffs, man, you have to go out. And at that point, I'm thinking veteran center and whatever else, but this, you have to get bigger in this West because it feels like everybody else is. Then Nikola Jokic, Anthony Davis is not going anywhere. And so, and that's the other part of it. To have a Zach Edey then allows, as you said, Jaren Jackson to roam, and you could certainly be more effective defensively against those bigs no matter the matchup when you've got two of them down there to do it.
Now, final thing for you, Jason. Just take me through your thoughts early in summer league. We had Cam Spencer look damn good. He's looked damn good through two games. He's got some competitive fire to him. Can knock down a three at will. Jalen Wells had the game winner last night. He's had some issues with his shot making and maybe a little bit of shot selection. But that second half last night was phenomenal from him. I know that you're a big Scottie Pippen Jr. fan. What other takeaways do you have early in this offseason?
I'd like to see Jake LaRavia continue to show the maturity that I thought he did in that first game. Shots aren't dropping there for a minute, but he has realized at this point it's got to be about more than that for me. I was brought here for shooting, but also, my defensive energy, which I think we saw. I mean, he looked like a guy who figured out I've got to do more and I'm going to go out of my way to do so. After, again, finishing last season strong. And because right now you've got the situation with Kennard, where, of course, we're all still expecting to have him back, but you don't know for sure. And again, even with Kennard and Bane in the fold, you were not a great three-point shooter. You need as much three, and that's frankly, it's been a story of the Grizzlies for years. You need as much three-point shooting as possible. I'd like to see him continue to play well, continue to gain confidence, but more so just those reps, because I think for Laravia, it's always been about that. It's always been about confidence for him. And I see a guy that in his third year, and you should know it if you're playing right. in the summer league in your third year, you have to, or else it's over. I got to pick it up. So that, I mean, Cam Spencer's Mr. Makes the right play, as I call him. I mean, he's just fun to watch. You bring him here to knock down shots, but it feels like he's more than that in terms of the way he's setting guys up. He's a champ, man. And there's just something about champs that come from that sort of, you know, that kind of background. They know the right place. He's been fun to watch. I'm curious about Jalen Wells. You know, what can he do with fewer shots? Show me you can do more than just be a shooter, because I think Cam has shown us that he can. Those, Pip I love. And then obviously with G.G. Jackson, you'd like right. to, whether it's in Vegas or whenever, you'd like to see a little bit of bounce back from him and a little bit more realization that, you know, I can't be a guy, especially against this level of talent, that just stands back and jacks up 10 threes if they're not dropping. I'm certainly capable of way more than that. We saw that at the end of the game in overtime when he's crossing over Hendricks, going yep. to the basket for a three-point play. I want more of that. This kid's 19. You need to play him. Get as many, again, like Laravia, he needs reps. So I'd love to see a lot more G.G. Jackson in Vegas.
And with him, just get the teammates involved, man. Show us everything else besides the scoring.
Brother.
We know what you can do scoring the ball. We saw that. We have a big sample size for that.
Dude, he had Edie there late. Didn't need to take that three. I mean, he's got to learn. And that's something new for all of them. You got a big threat down there now that's pretty polished offensively. You might want to throw it to. But that's been a knock on G.G. Before now.
Right.
I mean, you've got to be more of a playmaker. And Gabe, you see it. He's got the ability to get downhill, draw defenders. Man, if you can add that sort of drop-off pass, that setup, oh, man, it's just going to open up his game even more.
100%. Well, Jason, wonderful stuff. Hopefully we'll do it again soon. How about that? First time, great time.
Brother. Yep. Enjoy it, Gabe, man. Take care.
Yes, sir. That's Jason Smith at JasonSmith929 on X. He is one of two hosts with Jason and John from 11 to 2 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. But we need to go ahead and grab a break, and when we come back, we're going to hop into the Blitz. We're going to highlight our favorite John Morant moments now that he's cleared for basketball activities. Then we're going to get into some other things as Deion Sanders stepped to the podium at Big 12 Media Days. But that's going to be next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Yep, we're back rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time for the Blitz, which, of course, is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, let's get into it.
John Morant was cleared for all basketball activities yesterday. Hopefully that puts us in the position for more memories here in Memphis with Ja. But as of right now, give me your top five Ja moments in Grizz history.
Isn't this kind of hard to like break down and like really get into? Because you could go play by play,
well,
or you could
lot.
Go moment by moment.
There are a lot.
And it's not been a long time. It just hasn't been. So honorable mention I'm going to start with, and the only reason I put in honorable mention is because they ended up losing the series and the Warriors went on to win the NBA championship. But his 18-point fourth quarter in Memphis, game two, after they had lost game one, that was phenomenal. And being in FedEx Forum to see that and see the reaction from the crowd, that moment, it's hard to beat that moment, but there are five to me that beat that. And I'm going to start with number five, his win over the Warriors in the play-in where he dropped 35. That's pretty damn good.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Around at the end.
Yes, it was his second season. And he showed that he could compete with the Western Conference's best. And he did it by out-dueling in a lot of ways, you know, a Steph Curry great night. Steph had a barrage. Steph had 39 that night. Andrew Wiggins was really good that night. I understand the Warriors were not at full strength. Klay Thompson was still hurt. But they were still trying to will themselves into the playoffs to give themselves a shot. And the Grizzlies, in year two of that rebuild with Ja Morant, completely ruined their plans. Like, that to me was a big moment. You are here. The Memphis Grizzlies with Ja Morant, this iteration is here, and they're here to stay. And I thought that was a big moment. Number four for me, his dunk over Aaron Baines when they were playing the Suns. I have nothing else to say. That was his first real poster, right? Like, he had one on Jalen Smith. He had one on Malik Beasley in that Timberwolves series.
Well, I'll talk about it in a moment.
But the Aaron Baines poster was his first real one. Comes around the screen, gets right in the middle of the paint, and just goes right over a seven-footer. You're just like, damn, what is this guy not capable of? Number three, I'm going to go Spurs, his 52-point game, because that's his career high. I think he could have another career high at some point. It may be against the Spurs, because I don't know if you've paid attention. Against the Spurs, he, especially his last six games against the Spurs, he's absolutely killed them. Let's go. 30, 41, 52, 32, 38, 26 are his last six games point-wise against the San Antonio Spurs. Hopefully that can keep up because they're going to have a better team. They're going to play him four times again this year. I want to see him try to get up over 52, but that was a hell of a moment for Ja Morant to be able to show he can score in bunches in that type of way, like very few people in the history of the NBA have ever had, And that's a Grizzlies record all time. 52 points in a game. So that's pretty damn cool in itself. I think number two, and I know people will look at this in hindsight and say, well, what did that ultimately equal? It was in a lost season. They were 27-55. But I'm going to go this past season, the floater to go beat the Pelicans when he returned from his suspension. People will say hindsight, yeah, that didn't really turn into much. But in that moment, Connor, I don't want people to lose sight of the hope and the jubilation we had from seeing him game one out of his suspension, go up, score as many points as he did, and then finish the Pelicans on the road at the buzzer. It was a storybook moment for Ja Morant. After all of the trials and tribulations, he came back the same player and he really exceeded expectations for game one. And the hope we had in that moment, don't lose sight of that, because I think it's coming back going into this year. And then number one for me, and really it's because they ended up winning the series, and I talked about the Warriors, they lost the series with his fourth quarter barrage. But in 2022 NBA playoffs, 18-point fourth quarter, and then the acrobatic finish at the rim to win game five to take the 3-2 lead over the Timberwolves, and they ultimately won the next game on the road. Yeah, I have to put that number one because that's his biggest playoff moment to date. And I think there's going to be more coming up. But that right there, I think that's the peak of John Morant moments in a Grizzlies uniform.
Probably so. So we have four of the five same on
our course.
List. Yeah, so
maybe ranked a little different.
Little different rankings, but four of the five are the exact same. My number five, though, I actually put lottery night because I'm just never going to forget it, watching it in a bar. I was with Parker Fleming and a few others. And I would just when we realized John Morant was going to become a Grizzly.
Right.
We lost our minds in a way where we figured it out before the rest of the bar did because we understood the math that was going on with the lottery and other people that were watching. They turned and just saw us losing our minds like a bunch of animals in the corner and just more bear like freaking out. And then you just saw the rest of the bar get hype. And just by the end of it, it was pure pandemonium and casual pint, R.I.P.
Because
casual pint.
We had already watched him triple-double against Marquette.
It was after the...
Not that far. It was like a month after that. A triple-double against Marquette in the NCAA tournament. And you just knew what he was. You knew he was going to be the second overall pick. I know there was some like weird things by the end where there were some Grizzlies fans like, R.J. Barrett, don't overlook him. Yes, overlook R.J. Barrett for John Morant
after
Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. I had already known what was headed that direction. That lottery night was fantastic.
It was. It completely changed Grizzlies' history. That
by the way, shout out Elliot Perry. History.
Yes, shout out Sox. Shout out to Elliot. My number four is game winner versus the Pelicans. You already explained that.
Yep.
That was a fun night because I will never forget watching that. And Isaiah was with me, and he just fell out. He started crawling around my house because he lost use of his legs because I think the pure euphoria was too much for him to handle.
And don't you agree with me? Like I think like hindsight, people look at that and be like, well, what ultimately happened from that? Nothing.
The joy
this
I experienced
year,
that
but
night.
The joy and the jubilation and the fact that it was his first game back. Like,
right.
You had to realize in that moment the hope that was actually percolating through all of our veins.
My number three is the bubble win over the Warriors.
Yep.
My number two was game two versus the Warriors, the 47-point game. And then my number one, I'm cheating here a little bit. I'm putting the dunk and the Wolves game winner in game five. I was in the building for it.
It's one of the
loudest I've ever heard the FedEx Forum. It was incredible. The game, it was pure jubilation. I was in the building also for game one, and it was such a letdown that happened.
Yeah.
So for him to come back, for the Grizzlies to come back in game five and give them the game winner, it was just, it's one of my favorite moments in Grizz history, and I'll just never forget it. That dunk, he murdered someone in front of 18,000 people and then hit a game winner.
I still, to this day, Connor, I look back at it, and my only thought is, what the hell was Malik Beasley thinking? Like
he's
what
trying to take
you,
a charge.
Trying, but no. There are charges worth taking.
Well, in that
there are charges worth taking. There are charges that you just need to say, "Hey, I'm making a business decision." He needed to make a business decision.
Well,
and
that's the type of play where I'm so excited to see him with Zach Edey because he's going to be able to run full speed at guys just like that off of these Edey screens, and they're gonna have to make a business decision. They're gonna have to say, "Do I jump? Do I try to take a charge? Do I get out of the way?" Because pretty much all options, Draw's going to probably figure out how to get that ball.
He's going to jump directly at you. That's
right.
What he does.
He's going to try to kill you.
Yes, but I will say this. As much as I love that sentiment and I want to see that happen consistently because that's his game. That's what makes him so entertaining and exciting. I do want to see him when he comes back, especially off this injury, maybe. Sometimes, maybe go try to get the easy bucket. Don't jump directly at these guys and fall to the ground.
Go for the jugular.
Yeah.
Don't listen to Gabe.
Don't listen
go
to
Go for
me.
The jugular.
Yeah, just go nuts. Jump at these guys. Go finish over them.
I hear you. You and I were talking about this a little bit off air, but it does feel like this is going to be the redemption season for John Morant because we know that in this country, people love a redemption story.
Yep.
They love a comeback story, and it really feels like John Morant and the Grizzlies are primed to have a big season. And I do think that a lot of people are going to get behind them. And I do think that there's a pathway here. You know, I'm not saying he's the favorite by any means, but there is a pathway here to Ja Morant could win the MVP this upcoming season.
You know why I'm not going to dispute that? Have you seen a Zach Edey screen?
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, if Zach Edey's out there for 20 to 25 minutes per game giving Ja Morant some of those high pick and roll screens, he's going to have 30-plus per game. Like, that's just – it just seems like it's written in the stars at this point. We saw what he did with Steven Adams and JV and Jonas Valanciunas as well. Zach Edey's screens eclipse theirs even, in my opinion. And I know Steven Adams is probably one of the best screeners in the league, but I just think Zach Edey is going to free him up even more so than he has been in the past. And I think there's going to be a hunger, too, about Ja Morant that we haven't seen in his entire career coming out this year, because he has to now go prove himself again. He's proven himself, but I think people, with the absence of him, have forgotten how great he is. And he is a guy who gets he feels disrespected pretty easily. And if he has that thought in the back of his head that people have forgot about him, he's going to go try to make them remember him immediately. Game one, Ja Morant will be out there doing what you expect Ja Morant to do.
Right. We know how special he is. And that's why I think the Pelicans moment made both of our lists, because it was a reminder, not to really Grizzlies fans, but to everybody, like, no, when Ja Morant's out there on the basketball court, it doesn't really matter who's around him. The Grizzlies will be in a position to win. And if the ball is in his hands at the end of a game, I have all of the confidence in the world that the Grizzlies are going to win.
I still crack up at the story of that final shot at the buzzer where he was basically trying to get Jaren or
they're taking the shot.
Like, no. And he was like huffing and puffing because it's his first game back.
Right.
He's tired.
Like, no.
And they're like, no, dude.
No
you're taking the shot.
Yeah. And I love that that's kind of his finishing move, that little turnaround floater.
Yes.
It's what he did against the Warriors in the bubble. Like, that's his move in late game situations. And they've already shown that they like that pick play where he just runs at the basket and tries to get to the left side. Because he missed it. I think it was the Lakers game where he missed it. There was another game in the playoffs where they ran that exact same play, and he just barely missed it. It was either the Lakers or the Warriors. I can't remember which series it was. But that there were go-to plays where when he has the ball in his hands, I have all of the confidence.
100%. 100%. He is a closer. He's absolutely a closer.
Deion Sanders had this to say at Big 12 Media Days.
With whom you are to perform at a higher level or coach at a higher level.
Yes. I'm judged on a different scale. My wins are totally different than your wins. Your wins, you just judging football. That's why I have to start out and give you education and academics and so forth. I have to give you those things so you understand there's a greater scope. I can't win 9 games and our GPA suffers. Our GPA can't be high, but we lose another 8 games. We can't not go and grab high school players, and you got a bunch of guys in the portal, out of the portal, that's getting incarcerated. My wins are different. We have to win in every area. That's the way we're judged, and I'm cool with that because we come a little different.
Okay. What's the question here off this? I'm curious.
Are you buying it?
I'm selling this hard. I would say his losses mean more. Like, when he loses, he is going to be the full-on fulcrum. He is going to be looked at for criticism. People are going to come out of the woodworks ready to down him. But when he wins, it means more. And the reason I say that is because look at last year. He started the season, 3-0 or whatever, beats TCU. They get ranked. And what was Fox Sports doing? What was ESPN doing every week? Going to Colorado, following him. His wins, when he wins, he gets a lot of praise, and he gets a lot of people following him. So I just disagree with the sentiment. And I think what I'd tell him is, like, welcome to coaching in college football, about the GPA and off-field, everything else. Kirby Smart won 2 straight national championships. But what did we talk about in the offseason for him? It's about the driving and all of the issues they had. And obviously, rest in peace to the people that passed away. You know, Luke Roy, and then they had some players that passed away as well. But that's what the topic was for him, even though he won 2 straight national championships. It didn't insulate him just winning from the criticism from off the field. You know, Mike Gundy right now, he's winning games with worse rosters than he's ever had, and he continues to be at the top of the Big 12. But what are we talking about right now? His treatment and how he's treating Ollie Gordon in the DUI, right? How about this? Ryan Silverfield has set a bunch of GPA records. He's getting guys involved off the field more. They're out in the community a whole lot more. Everything off the field has been phenomenal for Ryan Silverfield, but he went 6-6 2 straight years. He got absolutely trashed for that. So, like, if you're a college football coach, everything comes into it. And I just disagree with his sentiment there. If they win 8 or 9 games, he's going to get praise beyond belief. Oh, look at this new way he's doing it, bringing in 30 to 50 transfers a year. It's working, right? I think that he doesn't quite understand what's going on here. I think that his wins mean a whole lot more. He beat TCU, who was not that great of a team last year, and got number 17 in the country. Everybody's following them last year. His wins mean more than what he's talking about right there. You have to, as a college football coach, with what he's saying, you have to win everywhere else as well. You can't be terrible in the classroom. You can't be terrible off the field. Everything goes into being a good coach. It doesn't mean that he's treated that much differently in the grand scheme of things if he wins, you know, 8 games, 9 games. I think that Deion needs to get a little bit of a grip on that. I do think his losses mean more, though, because he will be immediately castigated and pointed to and you know, shamed if he loses a whole bunch of games like he did last year. If they go 4-8, people are going to start questioning his methods.
I think he also needs to realize, too, that this is kind of the environment that he's created, though. He created a spectacle at Colorado. I'm not saying that's a negative, but this is what comes with it. This is what comes with it. If you want to have this big, loud program, this is what's going to come with it. People are going to be critical of your losses, but I tend to agree with you. I think that his wins mean a little bit more. I mean, they, for God's sake, most people were thinking they were about to beat Oregon. Like, let's be honest about it. It felt like people were trying to make it out to be a big game,
right,
when most of us were like, Oregon's going to beat the hell out of them.
And guess
what happened? Oregon beat the hell out of them.
42-6. And, like, here's the other part of it. He was 4-8 last year. That team was 4-8 last year. And look at, like, the praise that they're getting.
Look at NCAA 25.
Look at NCAA 25. They're a top 20 team, and they were 4-8 a year ago. I truly think he's missing the mark here with this quote. But he's standing up for himself. That's his effort. Standing up for his guys. I'm not going to shame him for that. I just disagree with that particular sentiment right there.
Sure. Kawhi Leonard is withdrawing from Team USA, and he will be replaced by Derek White.
Has he made an all-star game?
He should.
Has he been an all-star?
Is Derek White an all-star?
He will be
next year.
Your favorite question when Derek White gets brought up. I think that's fine. You lose Kawhi Leonard. You want to add some defense. Here he is. And also, he's going to be the 12th guy on the roster. So it's not like he's going to get a whole bunch of playing time, theoretically, unless you need to put him in there for a three ball or to play some defense late in the game, which I don't know if that's going to really come up with this level of talent
that we have on this team.
But the one thing I will say, Jaylen Brown did respond very interestingly, and this is his teammate. He put the three monocles, like he had like the emoji with the monocles, like, whoa, he didn't even get a call, apparently. And they just immediately went to Derek White as the alternate. Jaylen Brown's probably more deserving of a spot on Team USA than Derek White right now. He's coming off a finals MVP season. He won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He was an all-NBA caliber player. He's been in the All-Star game several times before where Derek White hasn't. And he plays the same level of defense. He's probably provides a little more on the offensive end at all three levels. I thought that Jaylen Brown probably should have gotten the nod, but I think the reasoning behind bringing Derek White in is, one, you want to replace defense with a lot of defense, and Derek White can provide that, I think, even a little bit more so than Jaylen Brown, even though Jaylen Brown's a good defender. But I think also, Derek White doesn't get playing time. There's not going to be an issue there. I think Derek White understands his role within this particular team. That's why they ended up choosing him. But I thought Jaylen Brown probably, because he hasn't been on Team USA yet, and he is definitely one of the best players in the NBA, one of the best players of the talent pool they're picking from, I think he probably should have gotten the nod, because I don't know if 2028 you're going to throw him on there. We'll see what happens. Like, a lot can happen in 4 years, and I want to see Jaylen Brown get his nod onto Team USA because he deserves it.
Right, yeah. It's. I do think that Jaylen Brown is deserving. I also think that Derek White is deserving, though, and I do think it ultimately came down to, they said, okay, let's try to find somebody that can play high-level defense, and he's not going to take the ball away on the offensive end. And like you said, it's not necessarily somebody that's going to come in and play a ton of minutes, because it sounds like that maybe the expectation with Kawhi was that he wasn't going to play a ton. He was going to play spot minutes if they needed him to, and he ultimately just couldn't do it, so they needed to shut him down. And to be honest, you and I kind of saw that a mile away. We were like, why is he playing for Team USA when he wasn't able to finish the season for the Clippers? I even said if I were a Clippers fan, I'd be pretty upset about it, because I'd rather him be healthy for a full season. And it seems like after a couple workouts that it was the correct decision that they made to shut him down so that he can get ready for the next NBA season. But when it comes to Derek White, he's a tremendous defender, one of the best in the NBA, specifically when it comes around the rim. Him around the rim is like a
best
big
guard.
He's the best guard around the rim. It's pretty crazy. So I don't have too many quarrels with him being on the team, but I also don't think we can ignore the fact that there's certainly some politics in play here, sure. too, I think.
You know, and the politics have to do with being at the bottom of the roster and not getting a lot of time. And how would you, you know, in a locker room, would you complain about that? Would you not? I don't know if Jaylen Brown would, but I guess the thought process from USA Basketball is that maybe it would be a little bit more of a problem if you put Jaylen Brown on this roster and he didn't get the requisite amount of minutes.
Right.
And I think that's kind of, that's a little frustrating because, I mean, if you were complaining about Caitlin Clark like I was, but that was for a different reason, I think that you should feel similarly about Jaylen Brown. I don't think you should leave someone off, you know, a 12th guy on the roster just because you feel like there may be some projection of, oh, if he doesn't get the minutes, he's going to start complaining. I think it's a little, you know, ticky-tack there why they made this decision ultimately. But I will say this, if Jaylen Brown never gets to play for Team USA in the Olympics, even in 2028, I think this will be an all-time snub because this is the peak of his powers. He's in his prime, and you snubbed him this time. If in 2028 you snub him again, it's going to look pretty bad.
Yeah, he'll probably be in the running. I would hope so. Hopefully Ja's in the running too, because I do think that if Ja wasn't dealing with the shoulder injury that you
Derek
know, maybe
White's
he'd
probably
be around.
Not even.
I would wonder. I would be curious. I would be curious to see whether or not John Brandt would have been in the running if he didn't have that shoulder injury.
Yep, so tonight Team USA plays Canada at 9:30. What do we expect? That should be fun. Dylan Brooks trying to get after folks.
I can tell you that. It'll be a lot of talking.
Yes, yes. And Canada's pretty damn good.
Pretty good team. Not bad. It's definitely the best team they've ever had.
But then the rest of their schedule, July 15th, they'll be playing Australia. July 17th, Serbia. July 20th, they'll play South Sudan. July 22nd, Germany. And then they'll open Olympic group play against Croatia on July 28th.
I'm really curious to see what that Germany game looks like.
Yeah.
Revenge game.
Yes. Well, yeah. I just, with this group of talent, like, just go through it. LeBron, Steph, KD, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Haliburton, Derek White. I'm sorry. As much as we want to talk about, like, the international game catching up, and I'm sure there could be some close games, I just don't see this team having any issues this year. This is hyper-talented.
They shouldn't.
They are hyper-talented, and they have the defense. They have the offense. They have the rim protection. They have the switchability out there on the perimeter. So some of these international teams, when they start getting into some pick and roll, you know, and they start to, you know, do some of the stuff in the half court with the off-ball movement, I think that they have the guys that can keep up on the perimeter even though they're bigs. I just think this team is very well built, and I don't think they'll have much issue with any of these teams once they get into the Olympics.
I hope not. The rest of the world has gotten a lot better, and the game has grown in an awesome way, but this does feel like Team USA should be able to, you know, I'm not going to say that they're going to blow people out every single time, but they should be able to take care of business without it being too difficult.
I think we should feel pretty comfortable about most games being blowouts, though.
Maybe. I think the teams like Canada and Germany, like they'll keep close. Spain, right. They always keep close. Sure. France is really good this year. So there will be a couple games where I think, you know, it's within single digits, but I would be very surprised if they lose more than one time.
Yeah, I don't think they'll
lose. Is the over under like half?
It would have to be a half.
0.5?
I would go under. I would bet under, and I bet the under's juiced pretty substantially. Right. I just don't think they'll lose.
I mean, this team's awesome. It's incredible.
In these exhibitions, I don't know. I just don't see them losing. We'll see tonight, though, because I think tonight's going to be one of the big, that and Germany will be the biggest exhibitions leading into the Olympics.
Definitely, yeah.
But also in the exhibitions, how much do they care? Like, how much are they going to care leading into the Olympics? I know that if they lose a game in exhibition, they will get picked apart, so they don't want to lose a game. But how much will they ultimately give a damn?
I do wonder if they're viewing this Canada exhibition game as a moment in which they can almost prove a point.
Yeah. I hope they do. I really
remember
do.
When Kobe ran through Pau Gasol?
Yes.
Feels like something like that might happen tonight. Like,
I hear that. Dylan Brooks may be on the receiving end.
Shannon Sharp going to be pouring honey on his goat tonight.
I would almost guarantee Dylan Brooks will be on the receiving end of some trash talk and maybe some physical play. But let's go ahead and grab our final break of the day. And when we come back, we will wrap up this edition of the Gabe Kuhn Show with a rewind. That's next, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Revenge game.
Yes. Well, yeah. I just, with this group of talent, like, just go through it. LeBron, Steph, KD, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Haliburton, and Derek White. I'm sorry. As much as we want to talk about, like, the international game catching up, and I'm sure there could be some close games, I just don't see this team having any issues this year. This is hyper-talented.
They shouldn't.
They are hyper-talented, and they have the defense, they have the offense, they have the rim protection, they have the switchability out there on the perimeter, so some of these international teams, when they start getting into some pick-and-roll, you know, and they start to, you know, do some of the stuff in the half court with the off-ball movement, I think that they have the guys that can keep up on the perimeter even though they're bigs. I just think this team is very well-built, and I don't think they'll have much issue with any of these teams once they get into the Olympics.
I hope not. The rest of the world has gotten a lot better, and the game has grown in an awesome way, but this does feel like Team USA should be able to, you know, I'm not going to say that they're going to blow people out every single time, but they should be able to take care of business without it being too difficult.
I think we should feel pretty comfortable about most games being blowouts, though.
Maybe, right? Maybe. I think the teams like Canada and Germany, like, they'll keep close. Spain, right. They always keep close. Sure. France is really good this year. So there will be a couple games where I think, you know, it's within single digits, but I would be very surprised if they lose more than one time.
Yeah, I don't think they'll.
Is the over under like half? Like,
half. It would
like
have to be a half.
0.5?
I would go under. I would bet under, and I bet the under's juiced pretty substantially. Right. I just don't think they'll lose.
I mean, this team's like, awesome. It's incredible.
In these exhibitions, I don't know. I just don't see them losing. We'll see tonight, though, because I think tonight's going to be one of the big. That in Germany will be the biggest exhibitions leading into the Olympics.
Definitely, yeah.
But also in the exhibitions, how much do they care? Like, how much are they going to care leading into the Olympics? I know that if they lose a game in exhibition, they will get picked apart, so they don't want to lose a game. But how much will they ultimately give a damn?
I do wonder if they're viewing this Canada exhibition game as a moment in which they can almost prove a point.
Yeah. I hope they do. I really
remember
do.
When Kobe ran through Pau Gasol?
Yes.
Feels like something like that might happen tonight. Like,
I hear that. Dylan Brooks may be on the receiving end.
Shark going to be pouring honey on his goat tonight.
I would almost guarantee Dylan Brooks will be on the receiving end of some trash talk and maybe some physical play. But let's go ahead and grab our final break of the day. And when we come back, we will wrap up this edition of the Gabe Kuhn Show with a rewind. That's next, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.